Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Radiant Light Beings. Welcome to Awakenings. And that was a bit of music from The Path of Not Knowing by Beth Green. I'm your host, and like I like to say, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. And we come here to connect in, to share our gifts, our talents, our experience and understanding on this wonderful path that we're all walking, and that many of us are walking more consciously, the way showers, the light beings. Many of us have woken up. Some are just waking up and going, wow, there is more to life, and I have more input than ever before. And this is one of the places that celebrates this and understands this. And the focal point of Awakenings is how to bring this into your everyday living so that you're living the divine mystical aspect of you in your everyday living, not just in a classroom, not just in a yoga room or a yoga studio, not just on a meditation retreat, not just with certain people, not in an ashram. I like to say that you don't have to go to the Himalayas or an ashram in India to have peace of mind and experience enlightened living. You are enlightened. Simply means of light. So really, it's about waking up to that. So in that tone, Awakenings is a place where we feature interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, guests, and conscious beings of all walks of life that are awakening or are awake and integrating this awakened state into their everyday lives. This is a place for support to connect into your true nature and live authentically and abundantly. And Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific. Sometimes we are able to do a bonus show like we did yesterday with the cosmologist, scientist, and healer, Jude Kuravan, who was absolutely amazing. If any of you were able to catch her on Awakenings, it was an amazing show, as all our programs are. Those of you that would like to call in to listen, maybe you're driving, 347-539-5122 is the number. And those of you that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions and Richard over at Cosmic D, I just want to give a shout out and say hello to you. And all that are listening and all the podcast stations that have picked up Awakenings, as well as the iTunes people, welcome everyone and welcome to the converging flow. And thank you for your energy, your awareness. Thank you for your intention and putting your attention into your life and creating more conscious living for yourself and others. It's really appreciated, and it just makes the game much more fun. Thanks for the great emails also about Jude yesterday. She was amazing and very timely, and she has said that she will be coming back. So it's not the end of March, because March is pretty filled already, but perhaps the beginning of June after the first Prophets Conference, the one that's in Malta, and before the Prophets Conference in England. So, you know, I'm always growing and changing. People that have studied with me for many years see this, and those that are in my classes, which, by the way, I'm teaching at Agape again, Agape Spiritual Center in the L.A. Culver City area. I'm facilitating and teaching meditation for spiritual unfoldment. I'm teaching, but I'm also being taught because I do tune in to my guides. So the class is really an unfolding for me as well, always, and always changing a little bit. And Awakenings is answering the call also. So, you know, we're really focused on actualizing to allow everyone, all of the listeners, participants, to really get the tools and the support to really move from self-realization into self-actualization. So it's not enough to just realize stuff. That, and that's kind of what's the old paradigm. A lot of people were realizing some wonderful things from some wonderful teachers and wonderful classes and their own ahas and epiphanies and realizing their gifts and, you know, waking up spiritually and integrating their spirituality, but not living it, not actualizing it in their everyday living. So this is really about actualizing the transcendent states that you are, that awareness, into your everyday living. And that's why we have people in on awakenings all across the board. It's not just, you know, I don't want to get into like titles and labels, but it's not just people, let's say, from the publishing firms that send me, you know, guests or Hay House or authors, or it's not those that seem to be more well known. Because what I so know from my own path and working with the transcendent masters, the oversouls, as I do, it's not what you do, and it's not how quote unquote well known you are that means that you are assisting in this evolutionary plan of expanding consciousness. A lot of people think it's how many books you're selling or how well known you are, what TV shows you're on, or even radio programs. It's not that at all. It's your consciousness. It's your consciousness. So somebody that isn't, you know, I've met amazing, amazing healers, especially when I was living in England, that virtually no one had heard of and that I was studying with. And let me tell you, those healers were getting together and shifting ley lines. In fact, I did a bit of that when I was in England, where the ley lines, because of so much of the pillaging and burning and all the stuff that went down for healers and mystics and just everyday general people in Europe, the ley lines were very, let's just say, misaligned, misconstrued, and they're and hanging. Anybody that does psychic work or knows that whatever's gone on before, those impressions stay in the ethers. So every now and then, just like a house clearing, which I also do that too, but it doesn't matter, house, person, animal being, tree, you know, a lake, a riverbed, all have ley lines, all have chakras. So every now, and especially every, you know, few hundred years, they need to be cleared. So I met these amazing beings, amazing teachers, and some, you know, amazing dowsers, I mean, that no one had heard of. And believe me, what those people saw, what they knew, you could just feel it in their presence. I was even at one point not just privy, but a part of a druid ritual. And these were like regular bankers, regular, you know, housewife, you know, teacher, secretary, guard. One guy was a gardener, but a very, you know, also very academic. And I will just tell you, that was amazing what I experienced with them. So, you know, one day we'll dive into all that. But what my point is that what we're also really learning and connecting in this, when we're going to say the new age, if you will, or this age of Aquarius or expanded consciousness, is to see beyond the personality ego level, to see really into the soul of the being or the soul of man. Not that somebody is not right or less evolved, but on this dimension, what is their real vibrational frequency? Where are they really coming from? And of course, when we're becoming more transparent, people know our intentions. You know, I saw the other day in the chat somebody was saying something. I didn't catch the whole thing, but somebody said, well, I don't want to go into that because that person's not here to talk, to, you know, defend themselves or say contrary to what's going on. So this is what I'm talking about. It's like the game is getting so big now that we're recognizing that we are these divine co-creators, and now we can have fun. Now it's about playing. You know, what do you want to co-create for yourself and for others? How do you want to shift the universal flow, be a part of that expansion and that life enhancement on Earth as well as in the whole universe, your little universe as well as the collective? So it's really such a bigger game and more inclusive, more embracive, more creative, more self-expressive, that you find that people are really want to journey in that way as opposed to keeping it small. And I just got a little note from Kat in the chat that she really enjoys the gifts, but really enjoy when you share your journey. Thanks, Kat. I will do that. I'll weave that. And I did promise, you know, if not once a month, every couple months to do some channeling also. Which also tickled me that Jude yesterday, her path, her, well, she was tuning into quantum physics and quantum physics at four, but I was my first near-death experience at four and then was channeling at four. So there's some kind of interesting synchronicity coming together that we're all experiencing where we're having similar experiences and similar understandings and we're coming together to share. Just a little drink of my coffee. I made a nice fresh decaf Americano with some soy milk. And Crystal inside Annie is saying you can feel it, the excitement. Yes, yes. We are really coming together. And I feel that the gifts that we're being, that our awakenings is being a funnel for, a connecting point, really are walking their walk. And that's all that matters as far as delivering information or being an example. And not even trying to. It's just about, do you have this viewpoint? Do you have this understanding? And we're all coming together to share this viewpoint, share this understanding with each other, and, you know, share some tools along the way is basically it. So that is, you know, we've hit a tipping point late 2007 into 2008. I would say the last gateway this December or November, December really move things along into the new consciousness, and even on, I mean, even on a mainstream level, that maybe having the wake up might be coming through an economic shifting or understanding or new rearranging. So it, you know, we are part of it, and I think the thing to remember for everyone is that it's all mutable. It's not static. Even what was written in ancient times so long ago. And people are saying, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. They're forgetting that, yes, some things are destiny, some things are fated, some things that we can forestall or delay, but there's a lot in life that's mutable, that with understanding and knowing, you can make a different choice. When more and more people's vibrational frequency is raised and there's more expanded awareness, more expanded consciousness, or a different focus, that shifts everything, not only individually, but nationally, globally, and universally. So we really are these co-creators. So, you know, I like to point that out so that those that perhaps get bogged down by the doom and gloom or fear aspect, they're not taking into account that we are shifting already. We are in this shift. Now, Kat is asking, is there anything happening in March? I've noticed quite a few people have March as a deadline. I would say more actually May, June, but you will feel probably after the end of the 20s of February, you will be feeling more of a laser light, more of a focused awareness or intention on your path and yourself, and really looking around saying, is this what I want to be doing? You know, or is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Or however you want to put it, you know. Is this really serving me? So that's going to be the question, you know, as 2009, as we're moving into right relationship and right livelihood. And by the way, let's not just talk money. Money is boring. I mean, I love money, but it's not just your job. It's how you're living your life, the people that are around you, the lifestyle, where you live, the environment. Right relationship isn't just about the external people around you, external or seemingly external, right, relationships, but your inner relationship to yourself and where you're at with that. How are you feeling about yourself, and are you supporting your expansion and your growth? So you're going to see more, Kat, as you're saying, in the chat room, you're going, or Sacred Empowerment Room, sorry, I know we renamed it, the Sacred Empowerment Room. you're going to see more of a honing in or a pulling in where there's less tolerance for what's no longer working or fitting. So might be a little disruptive for some, and for others, it's going to be freeing because you're going to get a lot of confirmations as to the direction that you're focused in and your true desires. And I mean that coming from the true authentic self or authentic ego personality, which is the extension of the soul. You're going to be connecting more and more with your soul's gifts. And that's why, and that's the area that I tend to work in, but that's why Awakenings really from February on is really focused on the soul, the soul alignment, the tools to help move from self-realization, self-actualization, to actualize your gifts, your talents, your beliefs, your ideas. You are, you know, an idea in the mind of God. You are an idea made manifest. Your consciousness made manifest. And inspiration, inspirar, how to get that inspiration, how to get that support and assistance to just to play, to co-create in this play of consciousness. So today, actually, we have someone that I know on. We have today a woman that is an intuitive healer, and she's also a meditation and yoga teacher. And her gifts and her focus is really about helping you develop your awareness and become more present in your body and also find inner peace. One of her focuses is also how to realize your own empowerment and create the life of your dreams. And she's going to be talking to us and sharing some of her proven concepts and techniques that will help you find your own answers. Also, as far as releasing blocks, you know I'm big into that. You've got to, release those. You know, you've got to do emotional clearing. You've got to work with, mental patterns, old patterns. Not out of something's wrong with you, but just as a matter of course, something comes up. You know, it's like a tune-up for the car. So, what I would like to do is connect in right now with Anne O'Brien, who is an intuitive healer, meditation, and yoga teacher. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Great to hear you. It's so funny because a lot of the stuff you were talking about, I was just talking with a friend about yesterday. So.
Oh, perfect.
There's all... We are connected.
Even before we connect, physically with the show, absolutely. Yeah, it's a time to really... It's that connecting. I was talking to someone, I think it was a client actually, and also a friend also that I was talking to later in the evening about just that right relationship, moving into that space of what is really supporting you and what's really resonating for you in your life, right? Instead of trying to make us, that square peg in the round hole, trying to make it fit, right? And I find, too, I'm not sure about you, Anne, I find a lot of people, it's really also about moving beyond the concept or the idea of this, that everything is a learning lesson, that it's this heavy thing. I have to stay in this until I learn the lesson,
Well, right.
I mean, don't you think the fact of someone saying, I'm learning something here, that you probably already learned it?
Yeah. Well, that when I hear you say that, it's like it comes from the space of self-punishment a lot of times, and the space of, I'm not enough or something's lacking, which is like the opposite of what is true, which is we are all God. And so you can't ever get to the, other end of the lesson if you approach it from that belief to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yes. And that, that's such a crutch. Because if you don't see something, if you're ignorant of something, and someone else outside you sees it, then perhaps you haven't learned something yet, and you're in there, to
sure.
learn. But if you're seeing it and you're
sure.
commenting, and if you're noticing that it doesn't feel right, or it's not life enhancing for you, then obviously you already know what you need to do.
Right. And a lot of what I do, and I'm sure you too as an intuitive, is just to tell people what they already know. Sometimes people call me and, we spend an hour and I tell them all these things. I'm like, well, I knew that. I just needed someone to tell me because everyone in their life was telling them something else. There just wasn't even maybe they weren't telling them something else necessarily, but they just weren't able to see that part of that person. So,
and don't you
wonderful
find,
job to have.
Yes. I find too, and I'm see, get your take on this, that if you are getting a good, you know, what quote unquote good, or let's say accurate, I don't want to go good or bad, reading, there should be some things that are affirmative or confirmation where you just what you said, where you say, I kind of thought that, I kind of knew that, or this is what I've been feeling.
Right.
Especially
Definitely.
Now where people, you know, it's people are getting a lot of their own hits on things, so there will be something that is, you know, confirming there, I guess.
I think it's part of that shift that you're talking about, where we're becoming more and more aware the spiritual reality is becoming manifest in the physical reality and is being seen. And as people are starting to make that shift, it's like they know something intuitively, and they have enough permission to know it or feel it or see it or however they sense intuitively to know that, but they don't quite have the permission to actually act on it. And so it takes someone coming along to say, oh, yeah, and we're like the bridge to say, okay, yes, you're right, now go ahead with that.
Yeah, I like that idea, that bridge. So, Anne, I know a bit about you. However, my listeners, the guests, the participants do not. So could you just share a little bit about your path and perhaps one of your first, awakenings?
Yeah. Okay, so I got into spirituality when I was young. I don't know, teenager, preteen. I started reading like Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain and different spiritual books like that, metaphysical books, or even sort of adventure stories about girls that could astral travel, you know, like young adult type of books. And then I got my first tarot deck when I was about 15 and got into astrology around that same time. And early on, it was just like in my astrology book, I had, you know, different hot color highlighters for whoever had a crush on, you know, Venus and Mars aspect this way. Okay, I have this with this boy. And then this, you know, pink means this boy and blue. So I was, you know, very much a teenager in my approach to the metaphysical stuff. But, you know, I kind of moved on from there and I kept at it. And
but that's good. You were just fading it into your everyday living. I love
that's
it.
That's true. In high school, the boys called my best friend and I witches. You know, and I was just, you know, having a hard time with this. And then one day my high school physics teacher showed up I was 16. He showed up with a grocery bag filled with astrology books and handed them to me and said, you know, I was into this too when I was in college. You have fun with it. Thank you. Somebody sees me, you know, somebody doesn't think I'm crazy, you know. So, and I was always very sensitive, and that was actually my psychic abilities were very much awake when I was younger, and I joke when I teach sometimes, I'll tell people, you know, I'm not really teaching you how to be psychic. I'm teaching you that you're already psychic already and how to handle it, because my problem was not that I was not psychic enough and that I needed to learn how. It was that I needed to learn how to kind of take away all the psychic impressions that weren't serving me and to really discern, like, oh, you know, this is dad's sadness or mom's anger or whatever I was feeling, and you know what, it's not mine. Yeah. Or this is somebody else's direction for me or desire for me, and I might think I want such and such, but if I can really start to develop my psychic knowing, my intuitive knowing enough to see, oh, that's not mine, I can finally move forward on my path. So I was always, you know, so sensitive and emotional and just confused a lot growing up because I was picking up just so much. And started meditating at 18. I went to, at my college, we had a January term, which was a 1 month, you took one class. And I took Far Eastern religions, and we did Buddhist, we did actually Zen meditation, and we did Tai Chi, and we read Buddhist and Taoist texts every day. And that was just a real great month for me, really, like, wow, to meditate every day. I started to, you know, connect with myself and clear all that other stuff out. And it happened to be during the Gulf War. So in the morning, I would go to class. In the evening, I would go to a war protest. every day. It was a very pivotal month of my life, and I would find that in the, you know, evening when I went to the war protest, I was yelling and screaming, and then I had to go, wait a minute. You know, after meditating, I went, well, if I want peace, I should be the peace. Like, I can't just, you know, dividing myself and separating from these people who probably are also coming from love in whatever they think is right. So that was great. And then kind of went in and out of meditation and tried different things, did Buddhist meditation, yogic postures and different practices like that. Eventually, I was in Boulder, Colorado, when I found this psychic development school called Psychic Horizon Center, and it's connected to some degree with the Berkeley Psychic Institute, if listeners are familiar with that. My teacher studied with Louis Boswick, who was the founder of the Berkeley Psychic Institute, and went through a clairvoyant program in doing clairvoyant readings, which is basically, as many listeners I'm sure know, seeing with a third eye, seeing images that are not necessarily seen in physical sight, and also doing energetic healing. So going up to someone and being able to feel with my hands, and I can also do this long distance just by visualizing and sensing vibrationally, and clearing their energetic field. And when I say that, I don't mean to say I can do it for them if they're against it, but I assist them in clearing their energetic field. So I learned that, and that was a very amazing, that was a year that I was in that training, and people would, as I was saying before, you know, people would say, oh, you're learning to be psychic, you know, how glamorous, how exciting, and I'm like, no, you don't understand, I'm in therapy, you know, that's how I felt, because I had to peel away all of this stuff that I thought was me that really wasn't me at all, and it was really great, and, you know, also very, you know, people think, oh, this is deep, dark, you know, secret stuff that you can see, you know, you can see if somebody's going to die or you can predict the future. I don't do that. I really, as you were talking about, Michelle, I help people on their path to empower them. I don't try and tell them, you know, your future's set in stone. You're going to marry a guy on this day and this, you know, look like this, such and such. You know, I'm just not interested in that. And I really want to help people along their path, and I learned that I could also help myself by the same energy clearing techniques I would do on others, I learned to do on myself as well. And very heart-opening, too, because I remember my first psychic reading I did it with my teacher. It just so happened, we did these student readings where people from the public would come in, and they would pay a nominal fee, and we students would do a reading, and we had a set format, but one night, I think none of the other students that I was studying with came. So it was just me and my teacher reading this guy. And she was much more experienced, of course, so she was able to see all these things in him that I might not have been really, you know, ready to look at or confident enough to say. And I remember, like, walking away from the reading just crying, like, wow, you know, this guy and I aren't that much different. Mm. And it was very, very, you know, much an opening for me and learning, you know, compassion and, you know, compassion for myself and compassion for others and to see the energy behind, you know, what we see physically. And from there, that was in 99, 2000, I've gone on to study with a man named Michael Tamora. He also was an original student of the Berkeley Psychic Institute and then directed it, and have done transmedium training and at the same time yoga teacher training and teaching yoga. And I come from the belief that we are a spirit. You know, we're spirit and we have a body. Mm-hmm. And we, a lot of times where personally, I can certainly speak from my own experience, and I see this with many others, especially now as times are accelerating, is the spirit moves faster than the body. So we might make a shift, you know, on the spiritual level, or we might be at one place spiritually, but physically we haven't caught up yet. Mm-hmm. Or spiritually, you know, we're all bliss, we're love. If we really connect to the truth of who we are, you know, and I think a lot of your listeners have had those types of experiences enough to go, I want more, that's why I'm listening, you know. It's like we are very much at peace at our soul, but the body is where we feel pain. The body is where we go through, you know, the different emotions and the different, like, physical manifestations of our lives. So I, as a spirit, for many, many years, because I was just so sensitive and picking up everybody's stuff, wasn't really in my body very much because it didn't feel good. It wasn't me. It wasn't my vibration. I was holding so much other stuff. So it's become a process of really coming into my body And I think a lot of the spiritual teachings that are out there, that's a part that's missing, you know. And it's totally great to do the spiritual thing. I think it's much needed. But I personally love the body angle, too, because I need it. So I help people with it. And, you know, for example, sometimes, you know, someone's already, they're going to move to a new place. And they've already moved in spirit, but they haven't moved in the body. And then the body has to go through it. Or you're changing, you're ending or starting a relationship. You know, it's already ended or it's already started. But here, you know, you have to do it in the body and it takes more time. So that gap can be, you know, assisted if we also work with the body, which is why I work with yoga and the meditations that I teach.
I think you have to do it all. I mean, I know, and when I hear you speak, it's what I, the old school, which is, I think we need to all go back to. People skip things. You have to do, I mean, I studied yoga, studied even aerobics, did that. You have to do something with, you know, massage, get your acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're bringing up a really good point, Anne, that a lot of people forget is that, you know, we're on this, you know, if we look at ourselves as this holographic image, we are manifested in form, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, and then we even have our material possessions. You know, you need to make sure things are in a working order. I also like what you were saying is that sometimes you'll be a certain way spiritually, but it has to be integrated physically. And I think a lot of people forget that. They, I don't know about you, but a lot of times people will come to me and they've gotten something, but maybe intellectually they've got it on the mental plane, but it hasn't yet been integrated emotionally.
Right. Very common.
Have you seen that? Okay.
So I think
So I think you bring up a good point that, you know, needs to be remembered is that there's all these different parts of us that need attention. Now, what would you say to someone? Because it seems a lot of times people do get something, maybe like a spiritual shift,
right?
But are having trouble integrating it, maybe on the mental plane or emotional plane. What suggestions would you have on in that?
Well, a lot of the things you said, you know, like the massage or the acupuncture, the body work. The meditations that I teach, I was just going to say, are very grounded meditations, like learning energetically to ground and come into the body, I think is good as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just a simple, just so listeners can have a taste of that, you know, one way, very simple way to do that is to visualize the first chakra, which is an energy center at the base of the spine. Just imagine from that point that you connect deep into the earth a big tree trunk or a big waterfall.
Mm.
And then breathing. You know, breathing is hugely important. So one of the first things I teach, and I'll be teaching tonight at the Bodhi Tree, a meditation class, where you just, you know, do that grounding cord, visualize that tree trunk, and then every exhale, let your belly move in and really imagine that you're letting go of anything your body is holding. And really deep breathing, pushing your belly out when you inhale, and then letting your body fill, yogic breath, and really filling up fully. And just really, even just paying attention to your body. And I think, you know, as I was saying, a lot of our emotions are held in the body, and so the body needs to participate. So sometimes that's moving the body through, it could be yoga, could be dance, could be passive, like you said, massage. I sometimes just like to freeform, just like move around and shake my body out and make sounds. Sounds are great.
Yes, toning and sounds, yes.
Screaming into a pillow or into your hands if you're mad. You know, I think a lot of the emotions really need healthy expressions, and that's a place that we're really missing, you know, in terms of the education that we get. You know, we don't learn psychic or intuitive awareness in school. We don't learn how to manage emotion. And maybe in some schools starting, but I certainly didn't learn.
I did. I had really good teachers. Now here, I'm going to say,
how lucky.
Driving in the car, especially for me off of Mulholland, screaming or singing, put on some really good. Now I've done it chanting. I've done that vibration too, Om Namah Shivaya and whatever. But sometimes just driving, and I won't scream now, but just letting out the blood, especially at night, because no one can see you.
Right.
Okay, Crystal Annie is mentioning, yes, Crystal Annie in the chat. I just want to clarify that Anne will be at the Bodhi Tree this weekend, right? Saturday.
Tonight. 7:30
tonight. Okay.
Yeah. And that's in West Hollywood at 8585 Melrose.
Yeah, we have some local listeners, so that's
great.
Tonight. So I put that in. And you guys can look it, they can look it up. And those that are listening from other areas, Ann O'Brien will be at the Bodie Tree tonight in West Hollywood at 7:30 p.m. Speaking on, and I imagine, doing meditation for self-healing.
Exactly.
And all now that we're on this little roll, and also those of you also that are in the local Southern California area, Ann also has a workshop, Create Your 2009, and that is January 24th, which is also a Saturday. And I'm putting her website, annobrien.com, and I'm sure the information is there also. So
annobrien.net.
Oh, dot net.
Otherwise,
oh, I'm
a realtor in Oregon.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better. Okay. Let's see. O'Brien.net. I had a funny story on that. A guest a while back. Months ago. Actually, she was also psychic and intuitive, and I don't remember the name. You have to put her middle name in. If you don't put the middle name in, because I was doing research, and she had emailed me about being on the program and sent me some stuff. Well, I wanted to email her the link back to the show so she could put it on her website, and I didn't put her middle name in. And mind you, I hardly had talked to this person, and it went to an escort person.
Oh, great.
Yeah. $3,000 a day and all that. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong
industry. I'm
looking at the web. It actually is a very good website, and kind of learned about that world, how they get what they get and what they do and how they charge. But I couldn't find her, and I kept doing .net, .com, and all these dots, And so then I went back and I emailed her and I said, I think there's something wrong with your site. Somebody took it over. It's not doing the same work.
Did she know?
She did. She said, which, by the way, if this was happened to me, I would change my website. What happened, she said, is that that person has had that website, I guess, for a long time. And it is her name. It's her first and last name, but it's obviously that woman's first and last, or maybe they use the phony name or whatever. So she said, that's why I use my middle name. She goes, if you don't put my middle name in the website or in the web address, the URL address, you're going to get that, hunky hottie or whatever. So I told her,
you
can change your website. Don't, because what a mistake. I mean, it was me, which is, I'm pretty easygoing, but I can imagine a company doing research and going, oh, we're not going to have a, it's funny. So on that note, so you've got the .net. I don't know why I had in my notes .com, so that's, I'm glad you corrected that.
Thank you for, catching that.
Yeah. So how about just a little mini, I think we're going to do a couple things. We've got a lot planned today, Anne. It's so exciting. We've got a lot of listeners in. So I want to talk about different way to get touch into what types of different intuitive abilities and how to develop that more and some techniques. But I'm kind of feeling just a little teeny meditation maybe.
Sure, we can do that.
Just a little teeny one to get a little, and then we're going to do readings later, right?
We hadn't talked about it, but that's fine.
Okay, I thought we had put it
there. Yeah.
Then we have some people already online, and I don't know if they're getting in line for readings, and we can tag team it if you want, or if they're just listening. But we will get those of you that are on the air, I see, or online, we will be getting to you. And, all right, should we just tune in and align? And there's such wonderful energy right now in the chat room, too. I can feel it through the airwaves, through with you, Anne, and all the other people. I can just That's why I love doing the show. You can really just feel.
I know. It's amazing. Talk about making spirit real. You know, we can't see each other, but we're certainly together.
That's right.
So maybe a 5-minute meditation or so?
Yeah, or just a couple minutes, just a little alignment, a minute.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Okay, so you want me to guide it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking? Or? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone listening, if you have a place where you can do this, please put your feet flat on the floor. And if you're driving, please keep your eyes open. But if you're in a place where you can close your eyes, please close your eyes. And just bring your awareness behind your eyes, as if you have a seat behind your eyes where you can sit. And as, you know, a lot of us say, you know, our heads can be so busy. We get, you know, the busy mind, a lot of thoughts. And if you're there, just don't worry about it. Just decide, okay, those thoughts can be there, but just let them move off to the edges, almost like they're starting to float now to the edge of your head and just outside of your head. And as that happens, just from that seat behind your eyes, just create a bubble of light around you. And just be right in the middle of your head behind your eyes. And just decide that this is a space where you can be clear, where you can be in touch with your own answers, at peace. And then just imagine that base of your spine, that first chakra that we talked about earlier. Just visualize that or sense that, and everyone senses differently, so however you sense it is perfectly valid. Just get a sense of that and then create that huge tree trunk between the base of your spine and the center of the earth. And let the roots grow into the center of the earth and make that as wide as your hips. And on your next exhale, let your belly move in and just let all the breath move out of your body as you let go of anything you're holding you don't need. And as you breathe in, just imagine that you bring in golden light into your body, into the space around your body. And sitting behind your eyes, just watching that happen. And as you come back into your physical awareness, just decide that this process will continue. Every breath out, you're letting go. And every breath in, you're filling up with your own light, with universal energy. And when you're ready, if your eyes are closed, just open your eyes. Maybe rub your hands together, touch your body, make it real, stretch. And come on out of your meditative space. So that's just a quick little taste.
Nice grounding. Nice connecting. I think it's great just to be able to connect in with different ways, you know?
I feel like everything gets quieter when we do this, whether I'm physically with a group of people or like now when they're listening from all different areas. Suddenly, like, all the thought forms kind of calm down. You know, all the thoughts being sent my way or from me even, you know, from between us. It's kind of like, it all settles.
Yeah.
It's like, here we are. I love that.
So Lola is saying in the chat that that was great.
Thanks, Lola.
Let's see. And your mama is going to call in. Okay. Wow. Good. Wonderful. So what do you feel is coming up in 2009, Anne? What is your, and I see we're going to just a couple more minutes, like 2 more minutes, those that are on the line will be opening the lines. And also questions, but also your own feedback, your own interpretation of what you've been experiencing on the path. You know, Anne can also answer questions of how to connect more with your intuitive self or how to know. How to know are you getting the accurate answers or reading those your answers accurately? I think that's a big part. I think what also has to do a lot with that is if you're emotionally clear. You know, it's hard if you've got clogged filters, right?
Right.
Okay, Kathy's asking me if there's, I don't have any raining or trickling water in Anne's background. I'm not sure, Anne, do you have any water or water?
No.
Okay,
no
sometimes
water.
We have some interesting phenom here or apparitions. One time we had crystals going that I could not find, I still to this day have not found we did an alignment meditation, and these, anyway, some sounds have happened. So anyway, yeah, so it's, and Bright is saying really enjoyed that and loved the bubble part. So a little bit, and Sandla feels rooted. So that's good. Yeah, it's, I think sometimes, you know, I think periodically, if sometimes daily is needed, but sometimes, you know, if you're going through a lot of shifting, you can speak to this, Anne. It is good to do, just to take a couple minutes like we did, or, you know, a minute or two, and do a grounding meditation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my students says, you know, I saw her, I don't know, a while ago after she had been regularly to my class, and she'd been practicing every day, and then for a while her life just got so busy, and she's like, I don't do it formally, but I do everything you taught me. I do it on the bus. I do it at work. I do it... I think it's great kind of in between things, like you're moving from one, like, you know, work to home or home to school or from family to relationship or whatever, you know, to do a little like, okay, here I am and I'm going to consciously make this shift, instead of what happens is we get scattered throughout the day because we leave part of ourselves at work, part of ourselves in the car, part of ourselves, you know, in another place, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, you can have those awarenesses of the place, but you've got to be coming from your core. Otherwise, you really do scatter, right? You scatter your energy.
Right. And personally, you know, I like to do the meditation like I just shared, only I do, you know, much more. You know, I spend more time. But every morning, for me, works best to do it before I leave the house or before I talk to a client on the phone, or, you know, really before I kind of enter the external world. It helps me to have a better day. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, I think Martin Luther King once said, you know, when I'm not busy, I meditate an hour a day. And if I'm busy or if I have a lot on my plate, I meditate 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we think the opposite. Oh, I'm too busy. I can't. But really, it just makes everything so much more effortless.
Yeah. To me, it's about living in that meditative state.
Yeah, for sure.
That's, you know, the more that you can be in that state of awareness or consciousness.
And to notice when you get triggered, you know, part of doing it all day long is not just like, okay, I'm transitioning from home to work, but also like, ooh, somebody just said something that really triggered some emotion in me, or some fear or some resistance. And learning tools so you can clear it right then.
Absolutely.
And so you can stay present instead of like what I did most of my life until I learned these tools, and still do sometimes because I'm still learning, you know, is to go, ooh, that didn't feel good. Let me leave my body and go into a place where I feel better. You said you lived in England, Michelle. I didn't realize that. I lived for 6 months in Scotland at the Findhorn Foundation.
Oh, I met some people that started Findhorn, actually.
Oh, you did?
In England, yeah. And I loved
it. And it was,
oh, my God, amazing.
Yeah, magical place. Things very accelerated there. This was back in the year 98, even back then, you know, whoa. You know, you think something and boom, it manifests. But I had a roommate at the time that was a recovering heroin addict. And he was now addicted at the time, you know, he was then addicted to meditation. And he meditated 5 hours a day. And when I saw him, he would tell me that he never got upset about anything anymore. Mm. And while I was happy that he wasn't doing heroin, I could see that it wasn't necessarily the truth. It's just that he had covered up, you know. He's like, okay, there's so much stuff I don't want to feel. I'm going to meditate 5 hours a day so I don't feel it. And I don't think that's the way to go either. You know, I think we need to have a balance.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I have had the same or similar situation where people think that they're, you know, meditating all the time, or they're rushing home to meditate, or, you know, they get in, you know, upset about something. It's like, well, I need to go meditate on this, or I need to go meditate, or, you know, or do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
They are the most uptight, the corn cob up their butt people. I mean, it's like, you know, and everyone else around them notices that. But, and what I find interesting, that's why I said earlier, forget about what people are doing on the outside or what seems to be enlightened or aware or spiritual, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Feel their vibe, because some people I would get, well, they're very, you know, they're a yoga teacher, or they, you know, they did this retreat or they did this meditation. And I'd be like, yeah, but they're so, all their emotional states are so unprocessed. Right? Or there are these blocks. Or they have, what I find people do is they transfer the limiting, what we want to call mainstream or race consciousness, limited beliefs, mental constructs. Now they just apply it to a spiritual. So where they might have been over-judging and over-critical of themselves and others, you know, in a certain way, now they take that same, you know, protocol, and now they've just shifted it to spirituality, you know. So
absolutely, yeah.
That's a really, really good point, Anne. That's really, you know.
And I remember one day in Santa Monica getting cut off because this woman was, you know, desperate for her parking space because she was late for yoga, and she's like, you know, I'm sorry, I've been driving here for 20 minutes, I'm late for yoga. And I'm like, hello, where is the yoga in what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
But she didn't realize. I mean, it's not like she was trying to be a jerk. It's just,
I know.
She just frustrated and wanted her yoga.
Yeah, and they're not living that state, that union. I had once, years ago, I was working mostly with the wife, this female client, and she just couldn't. Her husband was a major meditator and following self-realization for years. I mean, years and years. Grew up in it, and everything he would just meditate away, or so he thought. And she would got to a point where she was just so exasperated, and he had been on the path, you know, earlier, so she thought further along, and he would get in these moods where he would talk because she wanted to talk things out, or she would get angry or upset, frustrated. You know, if somebody kind of stonewalls you, after a while you get frustrated.
Right.
And so we're working together, and then she brought him in, and we're working together, and he and I did a session, and he, same thing that you said, Annie, oh, I don't get angry. I don't believe in it.
Right.
And he was just, you know, on and on and on. And I said, well, other people around you are realizing that you're angry. You don't, I said, you may not believe in it, but you are actually expressing it and you don't even know. And he's like, well, no, I just go meditate. I have a good meditation an hour, 2 hours later, and I feel fine and I'm done. Mm-hmm. So we had a whole wonderful learning around processing emotions. And like you said, some people wrongly, you know, or misinterpret you know, the spiritual practices to mean that you don't go there emotionally unless it's a happy, joy, you know, emotion. They don't, you know, it's like, well, we don't have that. But, you know, that is one of the, that is one of the notes in our symphony, right?
Yeah. And what that brings to mind is sometimes, you know, people are feeling emotions that are not theirs. You know, sometimes part of what I was talking about at the beginning, I was just so sensitive. I was just feeling everybody's stuff, and I didn't know what was mine. And listeners or people that I teach often ask me, you know, how do you know if it's yours or if it's not yours? Because if it's not yours, you can process it to death, and you're never going to process it. You know, it's like you're sinking into a black hole. So you're sad, and you just can't stop crying, even though you have to go to work or you have something to do, you know, versus if it's yours, you have a good cry and you feel better. So the way I tell people to kind of figure that out is if it's something you can turn off, if it's something you can process, it's your own, you know, and if it's something you feel like you just can't turn it off, you can't process it, I found that it's typically not your own, whether it's an emotion or whether it's an obsessive, you know, problem you're trying to solve, or sometimes people think, oh, there's something wrong with me, and if only I figure out what's wrong with me, and they try and solve that problem, and the truth is there's nothing wrong. And so if they just let go of that idea, then they don't have the problem, for example. So it's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just put in the chat, energy and motion. So you really want to keep those emotions flowing and not stuck, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those that are emotions definitely need to be processed. And even when we've pulled in someone else's emotion, there's never, you know, no reason for that. It's always like, well, there's something in you that attracted that or allowed that in or was in agreement with that. So even if it's someone else's, it's always good to look within and you know, how can I shift so that this doesn't keep happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, and on that note, too, I find if we move into perception, because sometimes it's not a projection, it has nothing to do with us, but we insert ourselves there.
Tell me more.
Yeah, you see, because we have psychologically, and I don't know why this got left out, but if you kind of study your psychology or go into transpersonal psychology, the world is not all about perception. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we would be egomaniacs. It's not always about us, but sometimes mm-hmm. we insert ourselves in there. So, and that corresponds back to the loving law of allowance, the universal law of allowance or allowing. If we're going where we truly resonate and we're just allowing others to be, obviously we have our own spiritual discernment or judgment with love, tenderness, and mercy, what's right for us, you know, that's fine. But let's say you witness something. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have that state of being within you. But if you insert yourself that it's about you, that's where it becomes a projection. That's why you want to psych, right? A psychic reading, you can read something that you've never done or never experienced or have no clue about. And I have that all the time with clients. Now, maybe, okay, in the all that is where we're all connected, yes, we have some, you know, piece of that.
Right.
But where people kind of make the big boo-boo is instead of leaving it as a perception of something they notice, they begin to take it on. In other words, if a car cuts
right.
you off, instead of just instead of keep driving and just have the perception that a car cut you off, what a lot of people do is they insert themselves in it saying, oh, I must have done something, or I'm not being awake, or I'm not
right.
So now you're in it. Now you projected yourself, and it is about you now.
Right.
Whereas before, it's just somebody's life, someone's action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you... Part of the of our enlightenment is knowing what is the projection,
sure,
and what is the perception. How do we move? So if you have no charge on something,
mm-hmm.
then you know that you're in a perception. If you
mm-hmm.
have charge on it, emotional charge, then you've either inserted yourself in it, or it is an inner state, you know, or something from your past
right.
triggered. So that's kind of how.
Sure.
Oh, on that note, we've got people calling in, so let's see what everybody, let's get to caller number one. 347-926, you're on the air, you're on Awakening.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a question about health, that's it.
Okay, could you speak up a little bit and also say where you're calling from?
Oh, yeah, this is Lady Focus, I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Lady Focus, I can hardly hear you. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well, we're here to un-uh you, okay?
Okay.
You can feel too, but you can also feel the other aspect of that. You're on the air with Ann O'Brien. She's a psychic and a teacher, meditation teacher, and yoga teacher also.
Okay. All right. Well, my question is...
How are you doing, Lady Focus?
I'm doing great. How are you? My question for you today is, okay, I'm doing pretty good with my eating. I have a new friend, and she's actually a vegetarian, so I'm learning a lot from her about different foods and things. But my main question for me is, could you tell me what type of menu or what way or what practice I can have in eating more healthy, eating things that are more for me? Because I don't have a taste for meat. I really put away the beef. I only eat, like, boneless chicken. I eat a lot of fish, like mm-hmm. a lot of salmon and things of that nature. That's, like, my favorite dish right now is salmon. So could you help me more in what else I should be eating? Should I be eating more vegetables, fruits? What ways I can substitute some things, because my downfall is cheesecake and tortilla chips and ice cream. So, you know.
What was that about the cheesecake, excuse me?
Yeah, cheesecake, tortilla chips, and ice cream. That's my weakness, if you want to put it that way.
Uh-huh. That's funny, because I was seeing for you, like, be careful of the greasy, fatty foods. That makes sense. Does make sense. Yeah, and eating is really individual. You know, everybody is, everybody's body is a little different, and what they need nutritionally is a little different. And I always tell people, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not trained in sort of telling you what you need to eat, or I don't know your whole health history. But yeah, for you, I was definitely seeing less greasy, fatty foods and more whole foods. So yeah, definitely fruits, vegetables, and preparing the foods more like steaming, or just the purest you can eat the food in the purest form possible, looks really good for you. And maybe starting slow if that's not what you've been used to, because like we were saying, you know, the body takes more time to adjust to a change, even though intellectually you might go, oh, I know what I need to eat. If you're too extreme, it might kind of throw you into shock. But, you know, moving more towards as many whole foods as possible, whole grains, whole fruits, whole vegetables. I think if you're liking the salmon and the chicken, that's good too. Does that help?
Yes, yes, it helps a lot. And on great show, I'm just enjoying the show. So I'm just listening.
Oh, cool, Lady Focus.
No problem.
Good to have you here. I feel too, I'm not sure, Anne, if you're getting this. I feel like you could be, Lady Focus, a little lactose intolerant. So watch the dairy, I feel. I can feel it on your chest.
I don't even eat. Well, besides I did a ritual with an egg before, and I've been traumatized since then. But milk makes me very sick.
That's what I felt, sick. Okay, because you said ice cream, and I could feel it. Yeah, so you are lactose. Just confirm that. You know, you could do eggs, egg whites. I don't think that's – but I definitely feel anything that's that traditional whatever dairy – you'd even have to watch goat cheese. Yeah, I agree with Anne with the steamed or lighter or more on the veggie side for you. More high water content, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, because I feel like that's why the universe brought this new friend to me, because she's straight vegetarian.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why she crossed paths with me. And she's younger than me, which is interesting.
Yeah. But remember, it's not the age, the title, or the stage. Conscious knows no age, title, or stage.
That's true.
And you're sharing with her. You've got your gifts also, but I do see you did need a little area, like Anne said, a little help in the food department. you're getting a more enlightenment, more aware in the food department.
Yeah, I am. That's true.
Yeah. All right, Lady Focus, keep listening. And if you have any other questions, just put them in the chat or we'll get back to you. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Blessings.
Blessings.
Okay, let's go to 770-993. You're on Awakenings. Hello, 770-993. You're on the air with Awakenings. Okay, we'll come back to you. Maybe they stepped away. They might be listening by phone. So. Hi, 757-491. You're on the air with Awakenings.
Hi, wait a second. I'm sorry.
Hi.
I was speaking to you in the kitchen, and then I didn't realize I was so far up on the list. I just think it's amazing.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is your mama. I'm in the chat room, but I'm not really there.
Okay. All right, your mama. You're on with Anne O'Brien.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly synchronistic that the caller that you just talked to was talking about ice cream. I've been going along on this path, and I got to a point where I think I really shifted up to a different dimension. And it's like when you're up there, you really can't connect with that 3D emotional stuff.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I managed to injure myself on Christmas, and well, it had another thing, but the thing that I wound up doing was eating a lot of ice cream. It was like it became an addiction, and I don't really eat the ice cream. That was my son's deal. And I think some of it had to do with that he couldn't come home for Christmas, but I got stuck in this addictive ice cream thing where I had to have it every day, and I was like packing on the weight, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I found out that ice cream has some kind of thing in it that makes your, I don't know, something, it's a, like a pacifier or some kind of comfort type thing. There's actually something in the ice cream that does that. I had to actually have one because I wanted to get rid of the addiction. I actually had to have someone do a hypnosis thing on me. So, and it worked great. It's like, I can't even connect with the ice cream anymore. I've got ice cream in my freezer from that time. Still sitting there. Haven't touched it. And I was eating it every day. I was like, I had to buy smaller ice cream things so I wouldn't eat so much. But I did want to ask about, you were talking about the meditating away that emotional component. I just thought it was interesting when I was going through this of the fact that while I was in physical pain, I wasn't really in as much emotional pain about my son not being able to come home for Christmas. it's like when you get up to a certain point, you can't really attach to the emotional stuff, but yet found later after the ice cream ordeal, after I had that addiction taken out of me, that when you get to a certain point, you actually have to kind of acknowledge, you know, I had some anger about some other things, and it just expressed out in that direction because, you know, there was connection there to my son. And I had to realize, even when you're at the point where you're not really connecting to your emotional, your more, what I would say, forceful emotional components, it's almost harder because you have to really look for them. And then you really have to say, okay, I'm angry, even though you can't really connect to that harsh anger. You know, it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I don't know if anyone else has had that experience.
Say it again. Now, what was the experience that you're having?
It was like when I got up to a certain point, I couldn't really connect to this harsh emotional, like when you're angry, you know you're angry. Like if your child does something and makes you angry, you know, you tend to say, you know, that's not appropriate behavior. You need to learn how to whatever, you know, but it triggers something in you. It's like a trigger and you like automatically emotionally respond. But when you get up to a certain point, you can't associate to those emotional triggers anymore. And I don't meditate every morning. You know, I don't get up in the morning and meditate. I like sometime during the day after my body has started to function normally, you know, I'll sit down and I'll do a meditation. I never do it at the same time. It's just like something I do just to do. It's not a, you know, I don't do it for my sanity purposes, but when you don't have these emotional triggers where you automatically are triggered by something somebody does to you or something that's happening around you, then it's like when you do have issues, it's like you can't connect with them. It's like the issue that I had was feeling betrayed by the universe for not providing for my son to be able to come home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I couldn't, it's like I couldn't get triggered enough by it to say, okay, I really have to acknowledge this feeling. It's like a weird disconnect.
Yeah, can I make it, and then Anne may want to speak on this too. One of the things that ultimately to release the emotional charge, because emotions are energy in motion, you have to get beyond the mental construct or the idea of what happened or the belief system or the picture or the image. And then you start moving into the energy of what happened or the emotion. And then from the emotion or the energy, you move into the feeling of it. Because bottom line is why we have, you know, addictions or, you know, distractions. You know, mind you, some distractions are good, but if they become overly habit where you're not addressing something, it's all because you don't want to feel a certain feeling. So what starts happening is when you have less mental constructs identified to what's going on, then that's part of what I'm hearing you say here, is that you weren't able to assign something to it. Then you're getting into finer core issues, and they are going to be of an emotional or feeling level. You're not going to be able to say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that. So what you want to do with that is get out of your mind, you know, or use the mind to get out of the mind by doing a contemplation meditation where you're just feeling the feeling and letting it come through, or just knowing that you're processing. So you're actually talking about a form of processing, but there's nothing identified to it because you don't have the mental image picture is either almost dissolved or is dissolved, but there's still some residue there. Is that making any sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was just hoping maybe, you know, the Anne could, like, give me a I've had some people do readings for me, so I had specific questions answered, but I'd just like to know if she sees anything coming up in the next few months that might indicate a shift of something instead of having to be the same place I am for the next so few or so months.
So do you have a specific – it's good to have a specific question so that you're really in the process
mm-hmm.
of the asking what you want and to tune in to assist.
Mm-hmm.
Now your question is this, is do I see a shift in the next few months? Does this have to do with what you were just describing with your son and the emotions that were around that, or is
well,
there
no,
something
I'm,
else
I'm
you're
kind
looking
of,
at?
I processed that by being able to realize that I was angry at the universe. So, I mean,
okay.
For that portion. I guess I'm trying to find out if there's any way I can shift, because it looks like nothing's going to happen for the next month. I mean, is there anything I can do, or is this just a part of the going, living in the now moment?
Nothing happening in any area of your life, or in what regard do you mean nothing happening?
Well, I'm in a situation where I seriously need to get out of where I'm living. But I
have
options to being able to move to another place, so.
I keep seeing you going to the door, and it's almost like, you know, you're in this haunted house. You know, you think this is the door, but really it's not the door, and there's a monster that comes, and then you go to another, you know, you think this is a door and it's a window, but it's sealed shut, kind of a thing. Is that how you've been feeling? Kind of like, you know, you try to get out, but it's like doesn't work.
Well, not so much that, just that, you know, it's weird. It's like I feel like you're just the place that I'm in now emotionally. It's like I'm in the now, and we always know that being in the now allows the universe to provide you the most perfect way, what you want or better. So living in the now and doing everything as you're able to do it is, you know, typically the way that allows the universe to give you the best and the greatest. So I'm just wondering.
I'm hearing patience.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes, you exactly. You have a wonderful guide. I want to say there's more of a because you're trying to do everything perfect and right and Scooby-Doo through everything, but you are perfect and right, and you are in a perfect unfolding. What you need to do is go deeper in your process, because there is movement. Even though your ego personality, or as Anne may say, the physical, the doing, you're feeling, like she said, going to the door and open, it's not yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of change happening, I want to say, in the subterrane. In other words, you know, a river or a brook goes a long time underneath the earth before you see it. So there is a lot of change that is happening with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, and from your guide, there is a guide that is, and it's a very almost like, if I want to say tarot, it's a very hermit energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of being held back a little bit to go deeper. And I'm hearing things like journaling, writing, drawing out your feelings, even though it doesn't make logical sense and you don't, it's another form of processing. I feel you're at the tail end of processing, and March, April, there's going to be some openings. But between now and then, really, you can't push the river because you're in a deeper process. And see, your mind is trying to figure it out. Your mental mind is trying to figure it out, and your physical, your mental body is trying to figure it out, and your physical body is just saying, let's just, you know, maybe get and can, let's just move, let's just sway, let's just dance, let's just do some yoga, let's walk, let's write. Writing is very physical. It's getting the energy moving.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not right now at a level where you can, you've done enough consciously on the rational mind level, is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
So there is going to be a breakthrough, but right now you're like that stream that's going underground, and then all of a sudden, you know, miles up the road, there it is. The spring is the brook, you know, or the well. The well is there. It's coming up. So, but connect in with this guide of yours, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I see like a shift happening as you start dancing with these ghosts and goblins. It's like, you know, you're doing your own dance, like Michelle was saying, just to kind of shake up the energy, but then you start to dance with these demons that seem to be assaulting you, and you go, oh, actually, we can dance together, and then they start to dance too. And I was also getting March. You know, I'm always cautious. I always say, whenever I look at the future, I say it's written in sand, you know, because I believe in free will. But I just want to say, since Michelle said March also, March, April. And I see this sort of getting to the point where you can come up and out, sort of like above your house or home that you're living in, and look down and sort of see what's been going on from this higher place. But it's not something you can just meditate all day today and just push it away and get there. It does involve a stance.
And I'm getting in the chat, Crystal Annie saying, ask your guide's name. Yeah. You have, it's your inner guide, it's your inner male, it's your soulmate, it's your inner, because our soulmate is within us, Uh-huh. It's, you know, there's a lot of different soulmates we have externally, but you are in a deeper part of your path right now. So it looks different. It looks different than what you would have imagined because it's beyond your ego, rational mind. It's beyond the mind. It's beyond. It's of spirit.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned dancing because dancing is how I wrecked my arm.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Well, slow. A slow dance.
Okay.
We're not talking, you know. You need to get the body, you need to get movement happening and work more energetically and less on the mental realm right now. But that's interesting. So, yeah, I've danced with a broken chip in my back before. So you can move. You can do some movement with just have a tension on the arm and, you know, take care.
Okay.
All right, my dear?
Yeah. Thank you so much, and I'm going to mute my phone, and you can mute me too, but I'm in the kitchen, so I need to stay on the line, so I'll be muted, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Have a great day.
You too.
Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mystic in Light. Ooh, I like that name, Mystic in Light. You are on Awakenings with Ann O'Brien and Michelle Mache. Mystic in Light, you're on the air. Okay, we will come back to you. They could be just listening. They could be in the kitchen, too. Everyone's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hi, 347-926. You are on Awakenings.
Oh, it's Lady Focus again. I was just listening.
Oh, hey, lady. You're listening? Okay, cool. Okay. And hello, 619-280. You are on Awakenings.
Hi, my name is Amy, and I really appreciate this show today. I've actually been intuitive for a while myself, and I've just kind of put it all on the back burner. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind taking a look at me and maybe letting me know what you think might be the most helpful way to keep on my path. I particularly really enjoy my mediumship.
Okay. Mm. And Amy, I see are you in San Diego area?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome. Another cell in Southern California. And you're on.
Hello, Amy.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi there. Yeah, Amy, one of the things I see right off the bat is it's like you said, you've been putting your intuitive stuff on the back burner. It's almost like I see it like in the back of your energy field or behind your body. And I see you starting to pull it out, like pulling it through this space behind you into your body and out into the world. And I don't know what you do currently for your job, but I see that there's more space for you to use your intuition in your job and in whatever you're already doing in your life, job, school, any of your activities, just to start to bring it in there. And like Michelle was saying earlier, it's really not about like exactly what the form takes. Like I think she was saying it's not about how well known you are, how many books you've sold or whatever. It's the same thing I'm kind of seeing for you. It's not about like if you're job title is intuitive or medium, but I see you're a huge light and you're a big part of that bridge of bringing this into more mainstream consciousness and into more more awareness in the public by being in what might look like a more ordinary position, but being an extraordinary being and showing other people that they can do it too.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
One thing I see right off the bat.
Wow. Thank you so much for that.
Is that helpful? Oh,
yeah,
great.
Okay. I really appreciate you taking a look at me, and you guys have a great day.
You too, Amy. Thanks for calling in. Yeah. Okay, let me mute here. Okay, seven. Everyone's still on. I'm not able to mute. So, oh, there it is.
No blenders. So
no
cooking.
Yeah, the theme seems to be food here, even in the chat.
I've been really, really into nutrition lately, so
okay. Oh,
not a surprise.
Okay. Let's see. So Mystic Light is saying she would really love a reading from you, but can't get on voice. So you can put if you have a question in the chat, if you can just do the question icon so I can see it. And then we can, you know, tune in because it's all vibrational frequency anyway.
Yeah.
It's always fun. We've got such great light beings listening and participating. Wonderful to have that connection and that flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one thing I was thinking of too, and Anne, I want to see what your thoughts are of this, is that that, you know, when we shift, you know, our body is always changing, you know, on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
mm-hmm.
muscles, the tissues, you know, we have cell regeneration, and you can also encode the cells for something, you know, new. So sometimes your you know, the food focus is going to change, what you need or how you sleep or where you sleep, or maybe even changing your bed if it's facing, you know, north. You may
mm-hmm.
want to, you know, if you need deeper sleep, or hibernating with the head towards the north. If you want some awareness or more processing towards the east. If you want to get up earlier towards the west, if you're into action. If you're doing inner child work, facing towards the south. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just knowing what you need environmentally is also that right livelihood, how you're living. You know, how is your
right
life?
Relationship.
And right,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Okay, Senla's asking, can we talk about money? Yeah, we can talk about anything. So what do you want to know about money? Do you want to know how to make some, print some money? Do you want to know? Yeah. What do you want to know about money? You know, I will tell you what I think about money. Since no one asked, I'll just tell you anyway. I love it. I think it's fun. I think in coming from an actress model background way back when, and also with the work that I do now, I have made a lot of it, had a lot of it, have spent a lot of it, have built back up. It's fun, but it's overrated. It's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. Let's see. Kathy is asking, okay, so now, Senla, if you want to know something more about money, you know, just call in or ask in the chat. Because I think people are overly focused on, I want to say, I had a majorly great teacher, you know, and we were talking about studying in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first, well, actually the second, I've been in three times living in Europe. The second time back in 92, before Vision Board, before, you know, the Dream Book and Visioning, I had an amazing teacher, Beverly Martin, from the Marian Association. I studied Jungian psychology and spiritual healing, who said, focus on abundance, being abundant. And I love what Tammy's putting in the chat. Money is only a form of energy. Yeah, and so yeah. So if you're tapping into those deeper, more advanced metaphysical principles, you notice and you know and you live that everything is energy. So you want to focus on the energy and seeing the abundance and feeling it. You've got to get to the feeling, the energy of it, though, how it feels. And then money is a part of that or a component of that, but not the only thing. And, you know, and I look at it this way. You know, it's just like dating, I swear. Money is like dating. Or, you know, if you're trying to go for somebody, you're going to repel them. You know, if you're stalker energy, you're too electrical. Just get away. Right, Anne? You know?
Absolutely. Well, I look at it like whether you approach it from having or wanting. And wanting is like, you know, I don't have it, give it to me. I need you to give it to me, or I need it to come from this place. And as long as you're, again, believing you don't have it, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Like people say, I don't have a relationship, you know, oh, woe is me, I don't have a relationship. Well, what they're missing is they have a relationship with everybody in their life, even every plant, every tree, every piece of food that they eat. And once they start having what they already have, then the universe gives more, you know, because they're vibrating at having. So I think money is that, or anything you want to create. And in my New Year's workshop, one of the things I have students do is look at what is it they want to create for 2009, and not just, okay, I want a new, you know, relationship, or I want a new house, but what is the essence of that feel? Like you were saying, Michelle, it's not just, you know, I need a guy who's over 6 feet tall. Well, why? You know, maybe what they really want is they want to feel protected. So why don't they just say, I want to feel protected, and let the universe figure out how tall he is. And it makes much more room, and it also just feels a lot more fun that way.
I love what you're saying there. And I always tell people, focus on the qualities of what you want or the qualities of the situation. And like Anne, you're saying, not this exact you know, 5'2", eyes of blue, 6'3", da-da-da, you know, all this kind of, you know, it's like you get bogged down in the details and you're actually lowering your vibrational frequency and stopping. And what I have found also, I like what you say, this or something better, because I find if on an ego personality level, if I put my request in or what I think and then put the caveat, this or something better, or I'm open to the qualities. Because I have made, you know, we're divine co-creators, so we can co-create from the ego personality level or, you know, the higher self level. And I know I have made some amazing personality ego creations that later I was like, oh, my God. What did I do?
Yeah.
Right?
I used to tell the universe, you know, I had to date a musician. From, you know, high school on, I was obsessed with music. Still love music so much, really respond to music. And I was a singer-songwriter for a while. And as I was kind of in that state of becoming a singer-songwriter and learning to play the guitar and building up my confidence, I only wanted to date a singer-songwriter, a musician, because eventually I figured out, oh, that's what I wanted to be. And then I realized, well, most of those guys, you know, and bless them, I'm sure there's some that are not this, but many of them were very unreliable, didn't have any money, you know, were sort of player types, and I would get the singer-songwriter, but all this other stuff that I actually could have used wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was really great at creating. You know, I dated a lot of singer-songwriters, but really did that fulfill me? No, really what I wanted was to be one. And once I figured that out, I entered a new, you know, pool of potential mates.
Well, and you bring that to me goes back to what you were saying earlier, Anne, about the projection. A lot of times we go for what we think we can't do or have, and we want it in the
absolutely
other person. So we're coming already from lack, right?
Right, right. Good point.
Yeah, that. A lot of times it's like you said, it's your own inner self saying you need to integrate this part of you. You have this within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, now we have a question from Lola, and we're winding down at 3 minutes. So the question is, does Anne use crystals, and does she have any tips on uses for crystals?
Interesting. You know, I have crystals around my home, and I love their energy, but I don't use crystals in my healing with others.
Okay. I have, and I still, because I'm initiated in rock medicine, but what are the tips on the uses? There's a wonderful book by Melody, and I'm not thinking of the name right now. It's a huge book that has various uses. I would just say make sure if you are using them for healing or doing a layout, that you keep them clear, whether with rock salt, just like jewelry. Every now and then you want to not always wear the same jewelry. You want to let it, release the energy, because jewelry tends to retain energy. The same with crystals. When you're using them, they're either retaining or amplifying. I used to get, years ago, I wore a little diamond set earrings all the time, and I would get lymph node infections. And what I realized, because diamonds are amplified, they draw in. So if you're trying to draw something into you, diamonds as well as emeralds do that. But they also can draw in stuff from other people. So, I was doing a lot of clearing work, so I was just drawing it into me right in that throat chakra area. As soon as I would take them off, they would clear up. Tammy is saying that she cleans her crystals in the moonlight after a salt water bath. Yeah, absolutely. Things like obsidian are going to dissolve heavier energies, if you will. If you want to have near your computer a quartz crystal, that helps to neutralize, or a smoky quartz, or also an amethyst. Also, amethyst is good in the car for awareness. I don't want to say protection, but just awareness. It alters the vibrational frequency in a way that the car is more, as Anne said earlier, protected or taken care of, as well as you are. Also can mitigate some effects of alcohol, you know, or any altering substance. So just make sure that's cleansed. Just like anything else, you know, that you're using for healing, you just want to make sure that it's getting its energy cleared up. because you are using it. If you're using it for healing, it's going to retain that energy. As we're winding out now, I just want to remind everyone that Anne will be at the Bodhi Tree tonight at 7:30 p.m. facilitating meditation for self-healing. Those of you that are around in the Southern California area, oh, you can fly in for this too. January 24th, she will be facilitating a workshop in Manhattan Beach on creating your 209. And she also has two audio meditation CD sets. One is Fixing the Starving Artist Mentality, Spiritual Tools for Creative Success, and another CD set for Developing Your Intuition and Creating Your Life. And again, you can go to annobrien.net, and that's annobrien.net. And we may have you back March or April for the Starving Artist Mentality, because we're focusing a lot on creativity, inspired living and creativity. And I definitely believe you don't have to have that. I'm a proponent of not having the Starving Artist Mentality. You don't need that. So, Anne, it's been wonderful to have you here sharing with us. I'm really happy that you could be here, and it's been such a joy, and I know all the people in the chat as well as the listeners abroad have definitely benefited by your sharing. So thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Lovely to connect with everyone. Great to feel that energy and just feel that support and to make a difference in the world and help to contribute to a greater shift.
Absolutely. And Crystal Annie is teleporting over to the Bodhi Tree now. And Lola, St. Michelle, Anne, callers, chatters, thanks for a great show. That's right. Thank you, everyone, because you all are awakenings. You are what makes awakenings what it is unfolding to be. And thank you also, Reiki. So thank you, and lots of love and light to everyone. And I think we're just going to end out with a little happiness by my friend Petey from moontribe.org. So go and shine your light. Keep awake.